A few moments ago, I was telling you about Fevzi Turkap, our regular gadget detective, who likes to join us on the afternoon show and help us out with all our technical problems. At least, I hope you can, Fevzi.
Hope so too.
Right, okay. So let's get this clear. If anyone has some technical questions, maybe it's to do with a brand new phone they've got, or maybe they brought a laptop computer, for example, or anything sort of technology related, or they're thinking about buying something new to do with technology, but they're not quite sure, they can ask you the question.
Indeed.
Right. 03459 570057 on the phones, or you can text 81333, start your message with the word radio. Let's start off by taking a look at the gadget of the week, which is speech recognition software, something that's been around for quite some time in various forms.
Yeah, and it's coming on leaps and bounds, so every iteration gets better. And the company that's pushed a lot of this is a company called Nuance, who, although they won't tell you this, they are the technology behind Apple's Siri. Apple have an agreement where no one publicises that fact, but it's actually their technology under licence that operates Siri, which is Apple's voice recognition system. But Nuance, who make that, also do their own products, which run. There's a version that runs on Windows PCs, there's one that runs on Macs, and there's also a version that runs on Apple mobile devices and Android devices, so pretty much any smartphone or tablet. So they've got, for example, on Windows, it's called Dragon Professional Individual, or Dragon for Mac on the Mac side. And it's a lot more than just speech recognition these days. Yes, you can open a word processor file and speak into it, and it does remarkably well. And as I say, each generation has got better and better. They use more and more artificial intelligence to work out what you're saying, because when human beings speak, actually we quite often lose the odd word or two, but we use our understanding of the context to guess what that word should have been.
Yeah, actually, wasn't that the problem with quite a lot of the early speech recognition systems, in that they kind of captured a lot of the words in the right order, but quite a lot of the words would be substituted with quite bizarre choices, and there wasn't this kind of context processing behind it.
No, and that's still a work in progress, but it continues to improve. So when there are errors in a typed document, those are spelling errors, which are picked up typically by a spell checker, unless you happen to misspell a word, which is a correctly spelled different word. But with voice recognition, every word is perfectly spelled. It's just sometimes it's not the word that you said, and therefore what you then need to do is proofread it. So actually, speaking would be around, 5 or 10 times faster than typing, but then you factor into the fact that you've got to proofread it, but you're still looking at about 3 times faster. But it's not just about text input, although these Dragon products do that. It's also, for example, you can control your computer, the interface. So instead of, you can open Windows, close Windows, open applications.
Oh, this is becoming clever.
So no more hunting around, where's the icon on my desktop, which is full of icons for that app that I rarely use. You can just say the name of the app and open it up. Also, the nice thing is it will do transcription. So, for example, you could feed it the audio of, say, a radio show or a podcast, and it will transcribe it into text for you, which makes it far more searchable.
Hang on a minute. So technically, what you're saying is you could actually play it the radio and it would transcribe what's being said.
Yeah, it has to get used to the voice. If it's not your own voice, then it needs to be trained in that voice. But yes, in essence, you can do that. And also podcasters can start to use this now. So instead of having to pay for transcription of their podcast, which some podcasters do, you can have it separately. Also, the fact that it works on all these different platforms is great. So let's say you've got it running on your desktop computer or your laptop, but as you have an idea, you've got your phone with you. So you've got something called, I think it's called Dragon Anywhere. It's just a small app that runs on the smartphone. So you speak into that, and then it can you can be transcribed later into your main computer later on. So you can not only dictate notes, but just rough ideas, work up ideas. So the idea is that working with machines starts to become more intuitive, rather in the same way that we work with people. We don't, have to type our instructions to each other, although I guess that's what some of us do with email. But we work more naturally with speech. So it allows you to do that. Also, for people with problems or who want to avoid problems like repetitive strain injury and so forth, overuse of the mouse, overuse of the keyboard, if you've got a past injury or you're just sensitive to it and you want to just make sure you avoid it, a combination of typing and speaking is probably good. You wouldn't want to speak everything because probably your voice would then go, but some combination of the two can be pretty useful. And I have it on my system. I find it's great for knocking up ideas. It's great for knocking out emails and messages very quickly as well. I speak far more quickly than I type. So, it's just a lot more fun and a lot more usable. So, as I say, these are a range of Dragon products. You can check them out from a company called Nuance, Dragon Professional Individual, Dragon for Mac, and Dragon Anywhere on your mobile device.
Excellent. I know we've got lots to get through before 1 o'clock, Fevzy, including news of two rather unusual smartphones as well. We'll talk about that very shortly. And if you've got a question for Fevzy already, I think we can pick up. Fevzy knows his stuff. 03459 570057. Let's get back to our guest, the gadget detective, Fevzy Taukup. We are talking various bits of technology, Fevzy, including some what have been billed as rather unusual smartphones from the manufacturer Lenovo. What makes them unusual?
Yeah, and it is unusual because normally with smartphones, it's just, you know, a bit more of the same. It all goes on the trend of a slightly bigger screen and so forth. But Lenovo have tried to be innovative. They've announced two new phones. One of them's got the rather odd name of the Fab 2 Pro. It's Fab spelt PH. And it's an unusual phone, not just because it's got a 6.4-inch screen, which makes it one of the huger phones available, but because it's got this very unusual set of sensors in it. It's got a technology from Google called Tango built into it, which is depth sensing and motion tracking cameras on the camera. So what it enables the phone to do is what's called augmented reality. It allows it to understand the space that it's looking at, i.e. your room or your surroundings, wherever the cameras are looking, but then to superimpose into that space something computer generated. So this is what, so virtual reality is where the reality is completely replaced by a virtual world. You know, that's when the goggles go on and you can't see anything of the real world. But perhaps more interestingly is what this phone does, which is augmented reality. So you see the real world, you see your room, but maybe on the table you see a digital item that's not really there but appears to be there, and as you walk around the table, because the sensors can work out the depth and the distance and everything, the item changes angle, so it looks like a real item.
Firstly, it all sounds incredibly clever, this technology, but why would we want a phone that actually does that?
Well, there's various things that you could do. So there are obvious applications for gaming, for example. So just imagine where you play a computer game but your foe is in your living room and jumps over the sofa and all the rest of it. So, you can have that and it's more realistic. But also, for example, let's say you're shopping, you're in a store and it's a big department store, you don't know where anything is. You can see on the screen through the cameras the real store, but then there might be a line appears on the floor that will direct you to a particular place, or arrows or something that will flash up special offers of the item on the shelf off to your left, that sort of thing. Also, let's say you moved into a new house and you're trying to work out where all the furniture should go or what furniture you should buy. Again, use this and it will superimpose virtual furniture into your actual living space. So these are potential uses. Now, this technology is in its early stages, but it is coming, and this is a first stab at this. The other phone that they've come up with is called the Moto Z, and it's a sort of modular design. It's got this sort of clip-on gadgets that you can clip onto it using strong magnets, so it sort of just makes the phone thicker, if you understand me. It just goes on the back. Mm. So, for example, you can get a very high-quality set of speakers and just snap them on. The other thing is you can snap on a projector as well. So whatever is visible on the screen is also projected up onto the wall like a conventional projector, but it just adds a little bit to the thickness of the phone. So obviously novel, I'm not sure that that one is necessarily the future, because those add-ons will only work with, you know, those phones. Whereas if they were to add those things on wirelessly, so a lot of people have Bluetooth speakers when they want to improve the sound from their smartphone or tablet, that's probably a more flexible way to go. But I think the other device with the augmented reality, the Fab 2 Pro, I think that, you know, that's got legs that could really signal where we're going with some of this technology in the future.
You know what, Fevzi? It is incredibly clever. There's no disputing that. It is incredibly clever. But I can hear so many people at home and in their car at the moment thinking, you know what? I just want a phone that makes phone calls.
Yeah, and you know, that's the problem, because a smartphone now is a jack of all trades. And the thing that it does less well, arguably, than it did in the 90s, is make and receive phone calls. And the reason for that is a smartphone is essentially a computer that does many things, one of which is, after fashion, to make and receive phone calls. The difficulty is, if you remember the old phones, they used to have these aerials that stuck out like a finger, and that would really give good signal, you know. And there wasn't all this other electronics that had to be crammed in there that now interferes with that basic functionality. And frankly, what a lot of people do is they use a separate £10 handset to make and receive calls, and they use the smartphone, you know, in an emergency, as it were, but mainly as a computer. So
we've already got to that point where the phone is no longer really a phone.
It's not. It's a mobile computer that happens. I mean, you know, it's no more a phone than your laptop is a phone when you run Skype on it, really. I mean, it's something it can do, but it's not its core functionality anymore. And it's a shame, actually, because you're right. You know, if anything, the number of drop calls and problems that we have with voice calls is increasing. But I think that you have to put that against the background of the fact that increasingly we're making fewer voice calls, and we're using instant messaging apps, things like, you know, WhatsApp and instant messages of Skype and all the other stuff. We still speak, but we do a lot more by text-based communications these days.
That's wonderful. Right, okay, we've got a question for you, Fevzi. It says here, Paul in Worthing is saying, I have a desktop PC, an i5 Proc? Running Pinnacle Studio for video editing. It works well, except for UHD. Is it possible to upgrade the PC to an i7? That's gone over my head, so help us all out, please.
Okay, so this is a desktop PC. It's the i5 processor is a mid-range processor from Intel. So it goes in a family. The i3 is the less powerful. The i5 is the middle bear, and the i7 is the big bear in terms of processing. Paul, you can't easily upgrade the processor in most computers. Most computers won't allow you to do that. Some will, but you'd have to do some research to see if that's possible. But actually, things relating to UHD, which is ultra high definition, or sometimes known as 4K, so that's where you've got four times as many dots on the screen as a standard HD television set, so much higher resolution, much crisper images. The issues relating to that, Paul, are less likely to do with the processor. The i5 is up to the job in most cases. What you should look at is, do you have enough RAM memory on board? So, for example, if you only had 2 gigabytes of RAM, you should consider upgrading that to 4 or even 8 gigabytes of RAM. And the other thing is, look at the graphics card. If the graphics are built onto the processor, that's fine for most purposes, but you tend to be pushing your luck for things like high-end games and also 4K video, that sort of thing. So what you could consider doing, instead of upgrading the i5 processor, first of all, consider more RAM, and then consider a faster graphics card. So instead of having it using the built-in graphics, use what's called a dedicated graphics card, and get one that's rated for 4K video editing and gaming, and that will help you a lot. I think that's probably the way that I would go, rather than try and upgrade your processor.
There you go. But Paul in Worthing, hope that's helped you out. and giving you an informed bit of information about what to do with upgrading your PC. My goodness me, Fev. So you look at the time, 3 minutes to one. Got to squeeze in a song before the news at one. I know we can get in contact with you. How do we do so?
So if you've got a question or just want to come and say hello, you can follow me on Twitter, which is @GadgetDetective. You can answer questions through there, or you can go to the website, which is www.gadgetdetective.com.